Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Until quite recently, skeptics viewed the existence of the pools depicted in John's Gospel to be little more than a religious conceit, a predilection on the part of Christians to believe what they think is true solely because they think it's true. In other words, only fools believed in John's pools. All of that changed June 2004. Workers in the old city of Jerusalem unearthed the place where Jesus cured the man born blind. And therefore, today, you can step into the very pool of Siloam in which the blind man washed and came back seeing. Not only that, you can rest your arms on the guardrail overlooking the excavated ruins of the Pool of Bethesda. This was where Jesus cared for the physical and the spiritual needs of a man who had suffered the ravages of sin for 38 years. And you can stand amazed that what was once secreted in soil accurately reflects that which is sealed in Scripture. This is one more reason that we can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that the Bible is a reliable, a trustworthy authority that you can bank your eternal destiny on. And again, I bring that up as just one more example of why it is so important for us who have been given all this evidence to be able to demonstrate to a world awash in political correctness, post-Christian ideologies, pluralism, relativism. You can demonstrate to them that there is objective truth. When we say that Jesus Christ is God, this is not just a faith that is blind, speaking out to a watching world. No, this is a faith that is informed by fact. And because we have the facts, we should know the facts, and that is why I've presented them to you in a memorable format. The flip chart available for your gift, its maps, memorable keys to the Bible's divine inspiration. As mentioned, you can master the proofs for the divine inspiration of the Bible in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. This is a memorable defense of the most significant literary work in the history of humanity, and is proof positive that the Bible, not the Book of Mormon, not the Quran, not any other religious writing, is indeed the authority. Again, the flip chart available for your gift. Check it out on the web at equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can talk to our resource consultants. They're standing by the number 888-7000 and the letter CRI. First up today, James in Omaha, Nebraska. Hi, James.
Hi, Hank. I love your program. I have a question about the World Mission Society Church of God. A few friends and I ran into multiple World Mission Society members, and they've really challenged us, but not really made us waver in faith, but we really want to be able to encourage our other church members who've run into them. A lot of people in our church have run into them recently. It seems like they're very evangelical. So we really want to be able to encourage our church members. So do you have any resources, or do you have any...
Yeah, we actually do. Not only on the World Mission Society Church of God, but also on and Song Hong, who was baptized into the Seventh-day Adventist Church in 1948 and then broke away from Seventh-day Adventism and started this cult of Christianity. This is an insidious cult in which the belief is that salvation is only given through the name of Christ, but it's not just Jesus Christ, it's Christ on Song Hong. And only those who are witnesses of him and pray in his name will be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. And they believe that he was a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, that salvation in this epoch of time can only be found in him. And on top of that, they have a whole pile of legalistic prescriptions. So we did do a fact sheet at the Christian Research Institute warning about this cult of Christianity.
Oh, okay. We've noticed that. We spent probably 2 hours talking with them one night, and it seems like they try to get us to agree with what they're saying, and they kind of walk us through a lot of things that we already know. We read our Bibles on a regular basis. I've read your book, Has God Spoken? And we definitely like to look into apologetics, and they're very, we thought they were very deceptive, and they hid what they were their real agenda. And that was one of the things that really worried us about these people. And we've seen them multiple times out sharing their false teachings. And so I just really wanted to get a little bit of background on that. I understood about An San Hong. And so really, then we ran into the thing about Passover. Can you give me a little bit more insight about the Passover and Sabbath?
Yeah. Do you want me just in general or their views?
Their views.
Yeah. What would be best is if I sent you the fact sheet that we prepared.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, if you hang on, I can get that out to you.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for calling. Hang on, we will put that information into your hands. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk next to Frankie in Orlando, Florida. Hi, Frankie.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I've got a question in regards to, I came out of Catholicism, and when I got saved in 92, my walk's not as probably as well as it should be, but, you know, people there in the area have said me about Calvinism and with the Baptists, and I don't understand the fact of the Reformed and the Calvinistic and what the Baptists believe or about being saved, I guess.
Well, there are some Reformed Baptists, so they would hold a Calvinistic view in terms of their salvation. And the basic idea of Calvinism is communicated in an acronym. That acronym is known as TULIP. One of the reasons is that Holland is one of the lands of the Reformation. I actually was born there. But TULIP actually codifies what Calvinists teach. First of all, the T represents total depravity. And the basic idea there is that man is dead in trespasses and sin, and therefore must receive a new nature in order to believe. Now, the idea is that unless you are regenerated, you cannot respond to the gospel, and God only regenerates those who are the elect. Those who are not elect cannot respond to the gospel because they simply don't have ears to hear. So that's the Calvinist idea of total depravity. The U represents unconditional election, and that is the notion that God chooses based on his own purpose and for his own pleasure and predilection. And again, God chooses only the elect. All others are doomed from the womb to certain destruction, as Calvin himself put it. The L represents limited atonement, and that is the note.
Then, I mean, once you're saved, is that not mean that we're saved? I mean, because a couple of the pastors there have said, you know, that you're not saved, that you can, they don't believe in losing your salvation. They believe that you're chosen by God, and specifically this one pastor, and it confused me.
Yeah, that's actually the P in the TULIP. It's the perseverance of the saints. And so you cannot choose to be saved, nor can you choose to be damned. You are chosen by God before the foundations of the world in that particular system. But again, not all Christians hold to that. That is a view within the bounds of orthodoxy, but it's not the only view. There are many other views that are held. So you can simply put it this way, there are Calvinist views and non-Calvinist views, and many Christians hold to non-Calvinist views. They do believe, for example, that you are dead in trespasses and sin, but you can receive Jesus Christ. In other words, that you can respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. The bottom line is this, though, in terms of salvation. If you realize that you're a sinner, if you repent of your sin, which is a U-turn on the road of life, and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, then you are His and He is yours. He will daily conform you to His image until that day that you're glorified. You can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that He is yours and you are His, not only for time, but also for eternity. Be right back with more answers.
Has Jesus Christ returned to earth as a woman? Eastern Lightning, also called the Church of Almighty God, claims a Chinese woman is the reincarnated Christ, Almighty God, and the fulfillment of Jesus' Olivet Discourse. This cult is doctrinally deviant and socially subversive. It masquerades as a persecuted Christian movement while exploiting Western sympathy to spread its destructive dogmas. Don't miss the special issue of the Christian Research Journal exposing the treacherous teachings and practices of Eastern Lightning. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org, equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground Church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go right back to the phone callers. Next up is Cindy listening in Memphis, Tennessee, listening on WCRV. Hi, Cindy.
Oh, Hank, I just have one quick question. Do all Pentecostals believe in one, or is there a variation in beliefs regarding the Trinity?
Yeah, well, what's interesting about this is that the Assemblies of God denomination was the first to actually call out Oneness Pentecostalism as a heresy. And that should answer the question, which is to say not all Pentecostals, and the Assemblies of God, of course, are Pentecostal, believe in the Oneness doctrine. In fact, most Pentecostals will say that the Oneness doctrine is a heresy.
Okay. That's what I want to know. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Josh in Oklahoma, listening on the web. Hi, Josh.
How are you, Hank? Thank you so much for this ministry. My question is, am I correct in telling someone that if a follower of Christ does commit suicide, they will not go to heaven? That's my question.
No, you're not correct in saying that. And I'll tell you why. Certainly, it is inconceivable for a believer to take their own life. Because if you think about this, taking one's own life is tantamount to murder. In this case, the murder of oneself. And no Christian in their right mind would ever contemplate doing something like that. But not everyone is always in their right mind. Which is to say, you can imagine someone who is sleep deprived. I think it was General MacArthur who said, "Fatigue makes cowards of us all." But you can imagine someone sleep-deprived, maybe because of pain or because of other circumstances. That's delusional. And in the midst of their delusional angst, doing something they wouldn't do if they're in their right mind, you cannot say that what they did excludes them from the kingdom. If they're genuinely born-again believers, they have everlasting life. So on the one hand, I say what I say with fear and trembling because I don't ever want to encourage anyone to take their own life. I don't want to have anyone misunderstand what I'm saying. In context, I'm saying no believer would ever contemplate doing something like that in their right mind, but it is not the unpardonable sin.
Okay. I just thought that, like Paul had contemplated a couple times, I thought it was not correct, but okay, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, this is the point. Go about it a different way. No single act is unforgivable, and the unforgivable sin is a continuous, ongoing rejection of the forgiveness that could be yours. And those who refuse forgiveness through Christ will spend eternity separated from his love and grace. But those who sincerely desire forgiveness can be absolutely certain that God will never spurn them. So again, while suicide is not an unforgivable sin, those who take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips should not contemplate suicide. Our lives belong to God. He alone has the prerogative to bring them to an end, and therefore we should never take God's prerogative upon ourselves.
Okay. Thank you very much, Hank.
Okay. God bless you. And I should also add to the discussion that suicide is a direct attack on the sovereignty of the very one who knit us together in our mother's womb. So we can't take the subject in a cavalier fashion, but by the same token, we don't want to go beyond what the scripture says either. I want to go back to the phone lines now. We'll talk to Mike in Arkansas. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Hank. It's great to talk to you. I'm a new listener. Because of my schedule, I just get bits and pieces of the programs, but it's enough that draws, as soon as I get in the car, I turn you on to listen. So I really appreciate the opportunity. The reason that I called is I've been out of church for some years, and I didn't want to go into all the details, but I've moved to a new area, and I feel that the Lord's called me to give involved in the church locally. And you mentioned something, I think it was last week, about Reformation in the pew, or something to that effect. But listening yesterday to some of the callers that mentioned, pastors using astrology, et cetera, quite frankly, it's a little scary. And I did ask for your free booklet about, how to choose a good, solid Bible-based church, and that's been helpful. But I just wanted to see what the Reformation of the pew, what that looked like, and for someone like me in my situation, how you might, how does that work together? At this point, I just have to trust God and move forward, and I want to see if you have anything to add to that, if that all makes sense.
Yeah, I think what you've done already in terms of getting the information on how to find a healthy, well-balanced church is what's most significant. When I'm talking about Reformation in the pew, I'm using that as a way of speaking about the only way that we can change the culture or see revival in the culture is if, first of all, the church gets back to doing what the church is called to do. The church is called to be salt and light in this world. It's called to be a light, not a light hid under a bushel, but a light that's on its stand that gives light to a dark world. We're also called to be salt and light, but if the salt loses its saltiness, said Jesus, how can it be made salty again? So if the church is not a leavening force in the culture, then the culture will devolve. So again, what I think so often people look for is reformation in the culture, but that only happens when reformation starts in the pew, when people who take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips do what they're called to do as followers of Jesus Christ. So that's actually what I'm talking about when I talk about Reformation in the pew.
Okay, that is very helpful, Hank. And as far as how does that, I know the fundamentals I guess I need to look for in the shepherd, or good shepherd in the local church. So that's just kind of something that sounds like I'm just going to have to go and sit and listen and pray and ask God to guide then and do my part. And over the years, I haven't been just dormant. I do my own study. I read the Bible all the time. I want to learn. I read what's in there. It's exciting, and I want to be a part of that. And I'd like to be involved in ministries that are doing that, that level of Book of Acts type thing.
It might be helpful for you to get a flip chart that I put together called Doctrine. And what that gives you is the essentials of the historic Christian faith. These are the main and the plain things. And healthy, well-balanced churches make them the main and the plain things, from the deity of Jesus Christ to the certainty that he will return again. And when he does, he will put all things to right. So that might be a very helpful resource, because there certainly are a lot of churches that deny essential Christian doctrine, even mainstream Protestant churches. Sometimes they're known as mainline Protestant churches. They deny the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, or they deny the supernatural incarnation of Jesus Christ. So they, in essence, demythologize the Bible. They take all the miracles out of the Bible because they've bought into philosophical naturalism that everything has to be explained through purely natural processes. So I think that might be a very helpful resource so that you're certain that you're in a church that embraces the main and the plain things.
Hank, that's great. I appreciate it. It's been great talking to you. And like I say, I'm a new listener, and I really look forward to the drive home now. And so please keep up what you're doing. And this is the first time I've ever in the last several weeks heard of you and what you do. So I'm really excited about participating.
Well, bless you, Mike. Thank you so much for calling. I look forward to getting that flip chart out to you. I think it'd be very helpful.
God bless. Thank you, Hank.
God bless you. Safe travels. This is a ministry made possible by listeners just like you, which is to say we can only do what we do because people stand with us prayerfully and financially. I've mentioned this before. The gospel is free, but someone has to put in the plumbing. It is expensive to communicate what we're communicating on the public airwaves. It costs resources. And without you, those resources simply are not available. So we ask those who love this program and recognize that this is a God-ordained broadcast and ministry for just such a time as this, to stand with us not only prayerfully, but to stand with us financially. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can also give through the mail. You can send your checks to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can pick up a telephone and talk to one of our resource consultants. That number, 888-7000, and the letter is CRI. So there are different ways of contacting us. The most effective, efficient way is through the web at equip.org. That's the most immediate. And when you give on the web, you can go to equip.org/donate, and you can become a member of the support team there. Not only give once, but give in a continuous, ongoing fashion. Simply fill out the online form and join other brothers and sisters as supporters of the Christian Research Institute and its many outreaches, including the Bible Answer Man broadcast, which you're listening to right now. So again, many ways in which you can support this ministry. And we do need some people that have some of the Lord's resources to step up to the plate, make a difference now. So please, if the Lord moves upon your heart, be generous and give either using the web at equip.org or via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or via the phone, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow right here.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.